welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
I've had a lot on my mind with as I've been praying and seeking God to do with refugees. And obviously this is, it's amazing how much has come in for refugees here. And I think it's, you see the numbers and the things on the TV and this number, you know, 1,000 here, 20,000 here, 50,000 there. And it's easy to forget that that 50,000 is made up of ones. Individual, thinking, feeling, human beings, probably very scared and really having an absolutely horrendous time of it because of the situation that they found themselves in. And the refugees I've been thinking of have been some of the what names that you'll recognise. Nehemiah, he was a refugee. He grew up in Susa in Persia and became a major government figure to the king, a cupbearer, it describes. That's what he was brought up. I mean, we've been looking at the story of when he got sent, or when he asked to be sent, back to Jerusalem. But I wonder if when he got to Jerusalem, he almost didn't feel at home because he had spent so long in the foreign land that when he was back in his own land, he was almost a refugee there. And as I was praying through Nehemiah, God reminded me of Daniel. Do you know the famous Daniel? Daniel in the lion's den and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And four men of God who grew up in Babylon. They were stolen from Jerusalem as young teenagers and grew up in Babylon. And it's a whole amazing story of what those four young men did as refugees, complete refugees in a completely foreign nation. There's so much to learn how to be a person of God in a completely foreign culture. One of the things I really love about them, and we're going to look at them, but probably not today now, I don't know, we'll see where we get. But they grew up in this completely foreign culture, and yet they excelled at it. They were recognized by the leaders as being exceptional students in the training that they were given, and they all four of them became great leaders in that nation. But I think it's interesting that they excelled in the studies. And what were they studying? Babylonian knowledge. And I just, you know, if I just take one little bit out of it at this moment, it was the fact they were not scared of that culture of demons and idols and foreign knowledge. They were there. They knew who they were so that they could be secure in who they were, so they didn't need to be afraid that they'd get the world on them. You know, sometimes Christians are scared when we get sent into places that somehow that world is going to get onto us. No, we're the light in the darkness. You know, we need to be secure in who we are. But yet this morning, as I was on the floor, God started to speak to me about another refugee. And his name is Terra. Now, you might not recognize that name. Some of you will. T-E-R-A-H in English letters. His name would have been spelt with Hebrew letters or ancient Hebrew letters, probably, actually. And if you don't know his name, you'll recognize one of his son's name. Because one of his sons was Abraham. Most of you will know who Abraham was. And Terah is yet another man of God. Maybe, we don't actually know. But he was certainly a refugee. Because he grew up in Ur, which was also Babylon. And it says in Genesis chapter 11 that he was going to move. We don't know why. It doesn't say God told him. But he was going to move to Canaan, which is, of course, what became the Promised Land, which is where Israel is today. So it's always symbolic when someone is called there. It shows a call from God, if nothing else. And he's going to move and become that refugee. So we've got this whole theme of refugees going. And if you weren't here last week, you'll have missed Kate talking about this, but it's great to see so many of you have responded. These donations are going to help people involved in the Syrian crisis. The freight crater, I can't remember the word, it's gone out of my head, but that's booked. And these are all going, scanning through the notices here, off on the 8th of May. So you've still got time to bring stuff. What do you just need it in, Kate? You just bring it all in. If you're not sure what to bring, Kate's got the information to help you on what can help those refugees. Because I don't think, although I want to talk about spiritual refugees, real refugees, we can't talk about refugees and not talk about something that's happening right in front of us. It would be like having a discussion and there's a blue whale sitting here in the room and we just ignore it. You know, it goes with the decor, it's fine. All right, it's a very real, very world issue. And we've got to remember that our faith, although it's thousands of years old, is rooted in today. And it's rooted in tomorrow and in the past, but it's rooted in today. And today's issues are issues for all believers. I mean, have you ever felt like you didn't belong? Often people who are called to be saved, and we're all called to be saved, but sometime before, they can really feel like, I just don't belong, I don't fit in, what's my purpose, what's my meaning? And many Christians can go through, I just don't feel like I fit in. It's because you're a refugee. You're not supposed to. That sense of before you're saved, of needing something else, there's something missing, this isn't quite right. So many people are in that position before they get saved. Why? Because that increasing awareness that they're not called just to be in this world, but they're called to something greater, grows within them. And then once you're saved, you become even more aware, I'm not... There's more to me than just what surrounds me that I see with my eyes.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's because you're not of this world. You might be English or Scottish or Irish or French or German, whatever you are. That's just where you were born. Once you know Jesus, you're a citizen or a subject, really, of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. And when you feel like a sense of unease, I mean, I love living in Scarborough, but I'm a refugee from London. But truly, I'm a refugee from heaven, because that's my home now. And as Jesus changes me and I become part of the culture of heaven, the world can see more and more of a foreign place. And the reason you don't fit in is you're not supposed to fit in. We are called to be different. We're not going to live like the world. Not because we have a set of rules and regulations, but because we've been given a way to follow and a way to live that enables people to live in the freedom. It gives us a foretaste of heaven. They're not rules to spoil our fun. They're rules that actually give us fun, if you like. They enable us to have the life that Jesus wants us to have. So even in that sense, we're refugees. But compared to the worldly situation at the moment, we're probably pretty comfortable ones. And certainly Christians in Syria as well. So, this is the notices, by the way. I've got a couple of others that I must mention. Nigel has asked me to remind you, Nigel Fraser, that this Saturday is an open day at the Coptic Monastery. Up, go through Hackness, out to Langdale Endway, and there is a monastery of Coptic monks. The Coptics are a church that was founded in Egypt, and according to their understanding and teaching, the church was founded by St. Mark. So it's got a couple of years on Kingdom Faith, that organisation. So it's really interesting just to go and see such an ancient form of Christianity. They look like monks, they dress all in black, and they have long beards. Most of them. But it's an open day from 2 o'clock up there, and you can go and look around and ask questions and have a cup of tea, according to Jennifer. So Jim and Jennifer have always been great enthusiasts and friends of the monastery up there. So if you want to ask them a bit more about it or how to get there, talk to Jimmy and Jennifer, who are... Could you just give a wave? Because some people might not know who you are. There's Jimmy and Jennifer at the back there. Okay, I know Jimmy looks a bit scary, but he's really very friendly. So just go and have a chat with them. It's Coptic Christianity is quite fascinating, but they believe in Jesus. And the other one, and this is a, I've got two more, but another one that's very personal to us, is I don't know if you realise that it's only 6 weeks away to our this weekend. Oh, wow. Always significant, always challenging, always encouraging, always changing us, always moving us forward. We are so blessed to have Pastor Andy Elms coming to speak to us. He truly is an international speaker, used to speaking at very big events. So it's such a privilege that he's very happy to come and talk here. A very personal connection, if you like, compared to many, many, many of the meetings he would normally be speaking at. So it's a real privilege to have him. Clive Urquhart will be here speaking. Paul Abel will be speaking. But don't forget that if you're not used to this, you may not even picked it up, but it actually starts Friday lunchtime. So you'll need to make sure that you've booked a day off if you're working, but these days, who has weekends? Hardly anyway. So a lot of you will just need to book the weekend off as well so that you can be part of it. Obviously, if you can't, it's fine. But I'm just saying this will be good, you know? And if you've got the opportunity, given that it's a long weekend and that many of you will want to be involved in making it happen, and there'll be more opportunities to do that, we'll be saying, can you join this team? Or people will be coming around and saying, can you help out with this? So you might want to take the Monday off as well. That's just a little bit of, especially if you're like me and Ron, not in the spring of our youth now. You might just want to take the Monday off. Not just so you can just go there, but hopefully to give you a moment of reflection, because you'll get so much from the weekend through the worship, encountering God, and through the teaching of the Word and everything else that happens. It's good to spend some time afterwards saying, well, what did God say to me? What have I got from God? Because you don't want the word of Andy Elms or Paul Abel or even a fantastic prophetic song from one of our worship team. What you want is what God says to you, because that's what you can build on. So make sure you've got those dates sorted in your diary. It's the 27th to the 29th of May. So, and if you've got friends who think that would be interested that live in other places, be inviting them in. They can book in online. You can book in online if you wish, but if you book here, you'll get it remarkably cheaper. I can't remember how much. I think it's 25 instead of 40, isn't it? £25 instead of 40. And that all goes to putting the event on and into the work of Kingdom Faith. So get yourself sorted for that. It's going to be a good weekend. We've had some amazing this weekend. I think this one will not let us down. And the last one is for tomorrow night. Yes, it is tomorrow night. Upstairs in the conference area at 7:30, there's a special part of the training. It's the Street Angels training night, but it's been combined with training in the area. It's about supporting and noticing the signs of those who are affected by domestic violence. And you say, well, why are we doing that? Well, if you're a street angel, it's a useful thing to know. If you're a community angel, absolutely. If you're a youth angel leader, can affect you, because it's not just domestic violence in marriage, it's domestic violence that can happen just in relationships. If you're part of the pastoral team, if you're part of this church, as part of our care for our community and our love for our community, to have that kind of extra knowledge, that specialist knowledge, if you like, it's got to be useful. And we don't want to be just a bunch of do-gooders who think they're doing well, and you're doing stuff that's not very helpful. That's so easy to do. You can get things wrong, you know, and you really wanted to help. And all you really needed to know was, well, actually, this is what can help in this situation. So that training is happening tomorrow night at 7:30 upstairs in the conference area. So, and as I say, you're welcome to come, everybody, to that. But if you're working in some of those areas, obviously, even, or a life team leader, for example, especially relevant for you. Okay? Well, praise God. That was quite a lot of notices. I think I did disappear into a little bit of preaching there. So on the theme of refugees, before I get on to Terah and maybe Daniel and maybe Nehemiah. Last weekend, we had the fashion show here, which was part of that was raising funds. It raised £500, as you heard, towards the expenses of this charity. But I suppose towards what they're doing, not just their expenses. But it was a great night. But one of the videos they showed on that night, I thought was really interesting. And this isn't a biblical video. But I think it serves us well as people of this world to be informed. And very often what we hear about refugees is just one side. So I'm not showing this video to say, yeah, you've all got to believe this or you're not going to heaven. I'm showing you this to give you a bit of education. You are free to completely disagree with it. That's fine. But I think it does show another aspect of what's happening in our modern refugee crisis. And as I say, I don't think I can stand here and talk about refugees like Nehemiah, Terah, and Daniel and not refer to the blue whale that's sitting in the room, which is the refugee crisis that's happening in our world right now. So it's quite a long video. It's about 6 minutes long. But I think you'll find this very interesting on what's happening. So if we can run that, PT.
In the summer of 2015, Europe experienced the highest influx of refugees since the Second World War. Why? Let's do this right and try to be the best we possibly can be.
So, praise God. I hope you appreciated that chance to see something from a different point of view to what we often hear from the popular press. I think the one that really gets to me is you see so much about that everybody wants to come to the UK, and you can see it's very few that actually get to the UK, and they don't all want to come here. Usually the ones that do are the ones that have got strong English speaking or some sort of connection. But I want to get on to where we're going this morning. And what did God say to me about Terah while I was on the floor down here? In terms of him being a refugee, sure, but also as us. So he sets out for Canaan, and I hope this is all correct because I haven't actually looked it up, so you can check me if you like. It's at the end of Genesis 11, see if I get the names right. But so he sets out with his family, and it's his extended family, but he's got his son Abraham with him, and they set out from Ur to go to Canaan. But the thing about that story of his travels and he's knowing where he's going and he wants to get there is he never actually gets there. They stop at a place called Haran and there they settle. I don't know why they settled. It doesn't say why they settled. We do know he wanted to get there. He didn't get there. He stopped here. And Haran has an interesting meaning. It means crossroads. And everybody knows that a crossroads is a point where you take a decision. Will I go with what God gave me, or will I go another direction? Or, as in Terah's case, will I just sit here and never make a decision and just settle for something less than what God called me to? And I think that was really quite simple, I suppose, was really what I think God wanted me to just share with you from that encounter or listening to God as I was on the floor there this morning. And that is, what he has called you to is awesome. He's called you from Ur, in the midst of the world, in the midst of worldliness, to Canaan. He's called you from earth to heaven. And your life actually will be a journey. Your life will be one of a refugee. Don't stop at the point of decision. It's so easy to be sidetracked by things that are not of God. Oh, I'll just go off over there. Or, as in Terah's case, you just run out of energy, maybe, enthusiasm, will, and you think, I just want to sit down for a while. We all get to feel like that sometimes. Nobody, I hope, told you that being a Christian was dead easy. It isn't. It's not supposed to be. It's amazing. It's enabling. The Holy Spirit gives you strength. The Holy Spirit gives you direction. But make sure you don't just give up and sit down and make camp. And let the call that's on your life pass on to another generation. It's happened so many times. It happened with the Israelites wandering in the desert. They lost the will to go into the promised land at the last moment because of they thought, oh, it's going to be more difficult than we imagined. And so they ended up wandering in a desert for 40 years. And the call upon the people passed from one generation to the next generation. They waited until everybody who was part of the mature generation died literally in the desert. And then that new generation of people, apart from Joshua and Caleb, took the promised land. Don't allow tiredness or busyness. Busyness is another one that just means I'm just going to sit and make my home here because I'm so busy with everything that I've got to do. I need to put my focus on that. And suddenly, instead of making a decision at the crossroads, you've just made camp at the crossroads. And I just felt that in the context of what I wanted to bring this morning, that God wanted various people in the room here today to hear that. Don't just sit down and make camp. Keep the vision. That doesn't mean you indefinitely stay part of Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. I'm not saying anything like that at all. People get called to move on. We are ascending apostolic church. When somebody is called by God to go to something else and move somewhere else, we want to rejoice with them and celebrate. Though there's always sadness because you're family and you know you won't see them so much anymore. But what you don't want to see happening as church, what we don't want to see together, is that people are not with the family anymore because they've gone off down another crossroads that God didn't call them to, or they just decided to make camp. I can't do that anymore. I just need a rest. And you miss traveling together. Not because God called you, but just because you were tired or distracted or made a wrong decision. And that's why God places us in a body. None of us here, including myself, should ever be in a position of making independent decisions. We want to submit to one another. We want to say, what do you think? I think God might be saying this. Especially if it's really important decisions. Never do that on your own. Because however close you are to God, however well you hear God's voice, we can make mistakes and think we're hearing God, particularly if it's something that's in our heart to do. Or another very common thing is to get the timing wrong. And God does call you to something, and you go off and do it, and it wasn't quite the right moment. And in your enthusiasm, you sort of find yourself floundering and saying, where's God? Well, he was actually saying, in a few years or in a few months. When God told me to go to Bible college, I did know at that point it was not then. You know, he just told me, you are going to go. And I would wait, and at one point he would tell me when. But in enthusiasm, I could have just zoomed off and done it and thought, yeah, great, brilliant. It's what I've always wanted to do. I'm going. And it was actually 10 years between hearing and going. And that wasn't because I was being disobedient or just waiting. It was because I was waiting for God to say, now. There was a person, I don't want to draw attention to the person, that's why I'm not even mentioning the sex. There was a person came to me at some point in the life of this church, I won't give you even that clue, but it was within the past couple of years, we'll give you that, who said, I'm leaving. I'm going to go and do this. And said, okay, great. And she said, haven't you got anything to say? I said, well, what would you like me to say? I said, are you telling me what you're doing? Or are you wanting to submit this as someone who's under my leadership because you want to hear what I've discerned from Lord, from God, what's God's will for you? And you want to hear that before you make the decision. I said, it's up to you. You can go and I'll bless you, or you can wait and hear what I discern or what I believe God is saying. And the person sort of looked at me because they were very sure that that's what God had said and they didn't want anybody else to get in the way. And they said so. That's what they said. And I said, well, that's okay then. We'll bless you. And a little bit later, they came back and said, I want to hear what God said to you. And I said to her, God's told me this is what he wants you to do. I said, I did think it was right for you to go. I said, but there's no point me, you need to know that I was prepared to say no, otherwise the yes means nothing. And I wouldn't have been saying, no, you cannot go. That would be cultish. That would be controlling. I would say as a leader, I'm not hearing this is from God, but if that's what you want to do, we will bless you. You go for it. But if you want to know what I believe God is saying to you in this situation, it's either this isn't the right time, or no, I don't think I'm hearing that from God. And so you should take I'm not saying you go around finding all the people that will agree with you. That's not the point either. But, you know, you can share it, particularly with those who are leaders in your life, and get a common discernment. The amazing thing is we do hear from God. And I want to know that when I go to somebody, that if they say no, they're hearing from God. But I also want to know if they say yes, they're hearing from God. Because too often people just say yes because they're too scared to upset you. Unfortunately, I've upset a lot of people just by saying, but again, it's not to be controlling. It's just if you submit something to me, I'll say what I believe God is saying. And that's what you want, really, isn't it? You don't want me to just say yes because I'm scared of upsetting you. And you want that from any leader in that situation. Whatever position of leadership you're in, you know, you need to have that resolve that when people come to you asking for prayer or advice or wisdom, that you're prepared to say what you think might be unpopular if that's what God has told you to say. Because that makes the yes so much more amazing. Otherwise, if people aren't prepared to do that, you'll never really know whether they agree with you or not. Because they're just too scared to say no. Anyway, I don't know where we got there. Obviously something relevant from God. But Terah just stopped. So it's interesting, isn't it, that in Genesis chapter 12, I mean, obviously Terah didn't think in chapters, he was just living it. But in Genesis chapter 12, he's dead. And the Lord speaks to his son, Abraham. He says, go into the land I've prepared for you. And it's not just a random go, because he heads in the right direction. And of course, what he's heading for? Canaan. Do you think it's really interesting he's going to where his father was going? The call to be in Canaan has passed to the next generation. And Abraham becomes, if you don't know your biblical history, Abraham becomes this great example of faith to not only the Jews, but to Christians, of the man who believed God. But it's just interesting that if his father had done what he'd intended to, and as I say, it doesn't say whether God told him or not, he would have been there anyway. So it was God's purpose, but the real call, the real work of God then came through Abraham. The whole call to be in Canaan passed to that generation. And I don't know about you. This applies to you whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. You know, I don't want what God has promised me bypass me and go to the next generation because I sat down at the crossroads. What do you reckon? And as a church, I don't want us to miss what God has for our generation because we got lost in, I don't know, being church or at work or at uni or whatever it is. We got lost in that and stopped going where he's called us to be. I and those of you that know me know that I've said this kind of thing before, but I truly believe this church is not called to be this kind of a size. It's to grow. Because God wants people to know him, and that's our mission. Go and make disciples of all of all nations. And we've been called and we've been planted and we're here in Scarborough. Most of us will work in Scarborough. Some of us will go to other places. We're apostolic. We're ascending church. We must always be that. But primarily, most of us will be sent to this community. Many of you have already been sent, and that's why you're here. You're not originally even from Scarborough. We're already refugees in the world as well as spiritually. And so Abraham gets the call, and Abraham goes to Canaan, and he's commended for his faith in setting out and going to where God wants him to do. So, and I'm not going to do this because it's 12:30 now, so I've got at least 3 sermons there, and I haven't preached any of them. I've told you about Terah. There you go. That's the way it happens. But I want to give you a little bit because of what we were going to do, and then we'll pick up on it next week and then the week after of where we're going with Nehemiah and Daniel. Because we get to this great bit, which those of us who have been through Nehemiah on a previous preaching tour will be excited to get to in many respects. Because in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15, and apologies if you've only just joined us in this great tour through Nehemiah, it says, "So the wall was completed." We've got there. So the wall was completed. Awesome. The completion of the wall. It had been ruined for 150 years. And it had been rebuilt in 52 days. And God has been teaching us and equipping us and enabling us to build the wall. The wall around us as individuals and the wall around us as a community. Because what Nehemiah built with was stones. But the Lord describes us as living stones. And stones, when you build a temple or a wall, are not any old stone. You dress them and prepare them and make sure they fit together well. You want strength. You want connection. And that's why God has been doing so much with us about who we are in Christ, what God has made us in Christ, what God has given us, because each one of us is a very important stone that makes this congregation, this community, strong. Because we don't want to grow just as individuals, but it's important that we are God's community, God's family. We are the body of Christ. We are the family of Christ. Not just individuals. The individual people are essential for the strength of the wall. You don't want stones just to disappear and go off in their own direction because it's going to cause trouble in the wall around it. But we are together. Fitted together. So a lot of these posters up there are things that have been taken from the teaching and the sermons that have gone. We had that whole session on I am God's masterpiece. Do you remember that? Not so that we can feel proud and successful and good about ourselves, but if we know how we are made and how precious and how awesome we are, we will live like that and we will learn to appreciate and love one another. Love one another. Do you remember me tearing the portrait up? The Vincent van Gogh Sunflowers portrait. It was the real one, I found out, but never mind. But no. He painted many of those, actually. But ripping that apart, and for some of you it was quite shocking, you know, you just hadn't expected me to do it. But so often, as Christians, we're doing that to the masterpiece that God has made us by not treating that masterpiece or not living as that masterpiece is supposed to. I like this jacket. It's a nice jacket, you know. Many people comment on this jacket. It's an expensive jacket. It's got great lining, look. But, you know, and it's made to be worn. If I still thought, actually, this is quite good. This is really lint-free, this cloth. This will make a great paint rag. And I started ripping the jacket up and using it as a paint rag. Really, the jacket would have lost its calling. It might make quite a good paint rag even, maybe. But really, that's not what it was made for.
Come on, that's good.
But you've not been given a jacket like this. God's given you the jacket or the robe of righteousness. Why would you want to use that righteousness as a paint rag? So when he calls us to live in certain ways, it's not because he's a forbidding father. It's because he wants you to wear the jacket. The robe of righteousness makes you look good. Because you are. You know, so a good example that really doesn't fit in the modern world and the way people are living now, that people see as restrictive, is that God says sex is for marriage. Sex is for marriage. Why does God say that? Because he doesn't like sex? No, he loves it. He created it. He had the idea in the first place. I don't know when. And sometimes you think, that was an odd idea. What is God like? But he had the idea in the first place, and he said, and the perfect place for this jacket is marriage. So when sex occurs outside of marriage, it's using the jacket as a paint rag. It devalues it. And you say, but I like sex. Yeah, well, it might make a really good paint rag. But if you really want to wear the jacket God has given you and know his freedom in that, stop it. That's what's living in holiness and righteousness. It's not a wall, it's not a stick to beat you with, it's a jacket to wear. And I know many of you in this room would have taken that jacket and you've already used it as a paint rag. But you've got to remember that the Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because the amazing thing is, he can actually take the paint rag, completely wash it out and completely restore it. That's grace. It's not an excuse to carry on sinning, Paul says. That's the grace that enables you then to live with the jacket. And whether you've gone down that route and ruined your jacket or not, you can be restored and look just like the person next to you. Righteous and holy before God, because that's what he does with the jacket. But if you're messing around with the jacket in ways it wasn't intended for, whatever it is, not just sex, stop it. Not because it spoils what you've got, but because it will actually enhance it. Yeah? That's not in my notes either. I haven't actually really... Oh, yeah, I did. Ruined for 150 years. Real built in 52 days. That's the only thing I've said today that's in any of my notes. But the wall is complete. So what we're going to look at... So this is just an introduction to where we're going to go. Is what Nehemiah did next. Because we've learned about being the masterpiece. In this incredibly long series of It's All Beyond Me, that's where it started, you remember? With that song. It's all beyond me. Because it's supposed to be, because the only way we can live this life is in Christ. That's where it all began. And so then when you know that you're in Christ, you can say, I am more than enough. Amen. Everything that God's called me to live. Whether it's to live in victory over sin, or whether it's to live successfully letting people know about Jesus, or whether it's successfully raise your family, or whether it's to run an incredibly successful business that's blessing the community. Whatever it is, in Christ, I am more than enough. It's such a rallying call that says, oh yeah, I can do that. I can do that. And so when people might point fingers and say, well, you weren't educated right, or you weren't brought up right, or you're not the right class, or you're from Scarborough. And you can say, no, I'm from the kingdom, and I am more than enough. You know, and they're along there. Let's do the others. I am doing a great work. The words of Nehemiah himself. You can say that. And if you think, well, I don't know if I am, there's two things you need to think about. One is, well, that's what you're called to, so look for it. And the other one is to realize that you are. Because a lot of people have this kind of false humility about what they're doing in their life. Actually, you're doing the great work. It's only if you're sat down at the crossroads, maybe you're not then, or you've wandered off in the other direction. Well, listen to the sat-nav. Turn around when safe to do so. This morning, it's safe to do so. Turn around and go back to the crossroads and go on. And, I am courageous. That was a good one. That was a lot of what Kate said. I am courageous. And then at the end, in Christ, the lion looking slightly fierce because he's not a tame lion, in the words of C.S. Lewis in the books of Narnia. So that's where we're going to go. We're going to look at what happened next. And we're going to look at it in Nehemiah. But as I was looking at Nehemiah, this is where God spoke to me about Daniel. And the two really linked together. And so we've got Daniel, the refugee living actually in Babylon. And Daniel, the refugee from Jerusalem, growing up in Persia, being sent back to Jerusalem. Basically, both of them and the other three young men with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all living in a place where they feel slightly uncomfortable because they have a higher calling. And that's us. So that's where we're going to go in the next few of It's All Beyond Me. We can feel a little bit uncomfortable because we do have a higher calling. And don't let anybody else tell you anything different. All right? You are courageous. You are more than enough. You are God's masterpiece. And we're going to discover then, with those truths in place in our lives, God has been dressing us as stones so that we can truly be the community God wants us to be. Because it's not about lone horses. It's about how we are a strong, sending, welcoming community. Amen? Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.